ですやん。
We are Tim Hasselbeck, every week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine. They're in Bellevue. Tim, what's going on?
Well, a lot of the same. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Hanging in there.
I'm better now. My best friend's here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Outstanding. Do I need to give you two a moment, or can we move on?
Don't be jealous.
No, we just figured out. We just got good news that our seats are next to each other. Nissan Stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We got them.
Who's your ticket rep? Who's your ticket rep?
Special. We get special treatment. Chase and I.
They know.
They know.
They know us.
Good answer. All right. I'm going to give you some. Put your brain to work right out of the gates.
Okay.
I want you to rank these four 2-0 teams in best to worst in your opinion. Okay? These four 2-0 teams. The Titans,
mm-hmm.
Arizona, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Bears.
Okay.
Tennessee, Arizona, Las Vegas, Chicago. Best to worst in your opinion of the 2-0 teams.
Arizona, Tennessee, Raiders, Bears.
Okay, so you're a non-believer in the Bears, kind of a non-believer in the Raiders, but you like Arizona and Tennessee.
The Bears beat a Giants team that lost Saquon Barkley. It was kind of ugly. They really should have lost to Detroit, you know, if you know, Swift can catch the ball in the end. So, like, there's elements there where I look at them and I think I could see that quarterback situation just going the other direction. You know, I just could. And, look, I'm one of the few people that thought that he was going to be the opening day starter. The Raiders, I think, are a good team. I'm not trying to downplay them, but I think they're good. I just would have them. I think there's a lot that the Titans do well. And I think I've said this to you guys before. We just naturally, all of us, you know, favor offense more than defense. And I think the defense is really good. And I think the offense is better than people realize. I think they're excellent. And the only reason I'm putting Arizona in front of them is I think that quarterback is really, really special. Like he was, you know, I don't know if I picked him to win the MVP this year, but I think he could easily be in the mix. I think he's going to be that hard for people to defend. And I think they've got a lot of talent on defense. So I could have put the Titans one, maybe should have, but, you know, I guess, you know, part of it is kind of digging in on some of the things I've said about Arizona preseason.
So if you have them atop that list, do you think they're going to be a playoff team?
I think that anybody in that division can win, which, you know, could be interpreted as, hey, you know, it's just a free-for-all and who knows how good any of them really are. But, look, Seattle, you know, just beat New England and had a really impressive win with how they did it. And Seattle's a good team with an amazing quarterback. The Rams look like the team they were 2 years ago. I mean, they just do. The way they're running the football, the way, you know, Sean McVay is still a good coach. You know, so there's an element of that. Obviously, there's been some injuries, you know, in San Francisco, but that, I mean, there isn't anybody that doesn't think that's a really talented roster. And then there's Arizona. So, look, I think they're all good enough to win the division. I really do. Maybe, you know, the Niners would be the one team that I have
they're
the
gonna
most
get
apprehension
hosed.
About.
Yeah, with the injuries. Yeah. The injuries are going to kill them.
But so I that's how good I think Arizona can be.
Okay.
Do they potentially beat themselves up? Yeah, maybe they do. But, I think they can be that good.
All right, I play golf, and I always need mulligans. I'd like a mulligan. I would like to remove the Bears, and I would like to do another tee shot and I would like to throw the Rams in there. That would have been the better list. So where do the Rams fit in your pecking order with Tennessee, Arizona, and Las Vegas?
I would have them in front of the Raiders. I would
so
have
Las Vegas slides to four, Rams to three?
Yeah. I think Cam Akers ends up being their starting running back as the season goes along. I think he's a really special player. They do a lot right. Their scheme is great. They have a quarterback that's taken a team to a Super Bowl. Like, whatever you think about him, like, I'm favoring him over Derek Carr at that point. So, I think they, like, defensively, they have some really, really good players. You know, a lot of people think they have the best player in football. So, that's a good team.
Okay.
I will say this, too, though. Look at what happened last weekend. And you know, prior to last weekend, I think a lot of people had looked at the 49ers and been like, man, you know what, they're good. They're going to be a handful. And then before you know it, you know, Kittle's banged up. They got their best pass rushers, you know, hurt. Their quarterback, you know, has got a high ankle sprain. That, you know, now all of a sudden, and then think about what's happened to their receivers prior to all of this. I mean, nearly everybody wants to push them aside now. And look, whether or not, you know, all these ACLs and things were because of the lack of kind of lead up conditioning into the season or not, let's say it potentially has something to do with it. We could have another weekend this weekend, you know, in terms of attrition, like we had this past weekend. And that could remove five teams from the equation.
Sure. Now, this was a brutal, brutal week for injuries. Okay. So that was hard. And I'll grant you that. And I should have – I totally gaffed. Rams, Vegas, Arizona, Tennessee. That's hard right now to rank those. So let's go with ranking these four 0-2 teams. Who do you think is the best to the worst of the 0-2 teams? Minnesota, Philadelphia, Houston, Atlanta.
Give them to me again. Minnesota.
Minnesota, Philly, Houston, Atlanta.
And rank them best to worst?
Best of the 0-2s to the worst.
All right, so I would go I'd put Houston last, so I would do
so
this.
So you put Houston last, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think I would go Minnesota, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Houston.
Wow. Okay, I'm a Minnesota. So you believe Minnesota is the best of the 0-2s. Why?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Titans' next opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they always have been and always will be well-coached on the defensive side of the ball. They have, and they, you know, when they haven't had it figured out in the past, they eventually get it figured out. You know, a couple of years ago, started the season, pass defense wasn't great. And, like, Mike Zimmer knows how to get it fixed. He just does. They obviously had some coaching changes. And so you can see how, you know, I think you can find some ways of why maybe they haven't gotten off to a great start. And people can say what they want about their quarterback, but he can play. He can flat out play. You know, his numbers the past few years would bear that out. They're able to run the football. Like, I think that's a good team. That's a team that will be able to run the football, a team that will play good defense, and a quarterback that good. Like, I'm buying all of that. I'm saying Philadelphia second because I do think Philly has some talent. I think the quarterback needs to play better. He has not played well the first 2 weeks, but I think that he will. And I think that is a group, you know, that is, you know, kind of on the cusp of taking that next step. Atlanta, I think, you know, you could maybe swap those, you know, Philadelphia and Atlanta. Atlanta is a team that, you know, I think, you know, they're so streaky. I just haven't trusted them. They're a team that was really banged up a year ago. You know, so I might have those two teams wrong. I feel pretty confident about having Houston last. They just lost so many players. I think there's just enough transition there and enough, kind of instability there that I would have them last. They've got a great quarterback, but there's a lot of other things I think they need to get figured out.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck and talking NFL. Tim, in again, the world we're in right now after 2 weeks of trying to figure out who's for real, who's for not, or who's not, all of that, what is your evaluation of the Jaguars right now? Do we think they're a little bit better than what we thought? They've got all these young guys that are sort of no names. They flashed some talent there on Sunday against the Titans, but what do you see their outlook?
I think they're way better than we thought. I'm not sure I saw a single power ranking from anybody that didn't have them, 31 or 32. I mean, so, the fact that they've been either better than who they've played or really competitive to, with a team that I think is a division favorite. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that, they're probably better. I mean, think about it. If people are ranking them 32, they think that Cincinnati's better. They think that Miami's better. They think that Cleveland's definitely better. I don't think that's necessarily fair to Jacksonville in terms of some of the stuff they've done and how they've played. So I think the Jets are better, for that matter. So I think the quarterback is better than I ever thought that he would be. I don't know if he's the long-term answer there, but they definitely rally around him. And I think they're a harder out. They're not going to be a playoff contender, in my opinion. They'll be under 500, but they'll lose close games like they did this past weekend, and they'll sneak away with a couple close ones, and I think that's just what that team will be.
You've seen this from time to time, but this it's reaching a high level. It's almost become like a fun thing to do to just completely shred the Jets. So how much of it is like just the piling on of the media, the New York media, because it's just what you do, and how much of it is the Jets have just been awful? Like, I look at them last year. They're 7-9. They weren't half bad. They had Darnold missing for a month, which set them behind the eight ball. But, like, what has happened there? Because they just look like a train wreck right now.
They do look like a train wreck. What exactly has happened, I'm not sure. But, there's been a lot of talk about is Adam Gase the right guy? And I've said this, a number of times, and I don't know Adam Gase. I've never been coached by him. I don't know him personally or any of that stuff. But I can't say that I have watched the people that he has coached, or the teams that he has coached that have not been quarterbacked by Peyton Manning and thought, yeah, these guys are good. I haven't. I don't feel like, I've seen him, getting the most out of his players. I can't. And so you go back to it, and it's like Ben McAdoo became the head coach of the Giants, after what he had done as the offense coordinator in Green Bay. Well, Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback. So, I think sometimes we get this stuff really, really twisted in terms of if a guy's a good coach or not, or if he does a good job with an offense, if there's a quarterback that, would generate a lot of good offense. I would take this, kind of like Cliff Kingsbury, for example. I don't really know if we know how good his offense really is, with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is going to generate offense, period. Done. I don't care what you put him in. The guy's an amazing football player. He's going to create offense. So, tell me if that offense would work if you had to go with Tyrod Taylor for 5 weeks. Tell me if that offense would work, if Andy Dalton stepped in and played. What would it look like then? Then prove to me, how good your system is and what you're doing. I think that's kind of how, I feel about the Jets. And I'm I don't know that Adam Gase is really the answer.
We get a treat on Monday night. You get Kansas City against Baltimore. We both know they're setting the standard in the AFC. If you had to back one horse right now, who would you take? Would you take Kansas City or Baltimore, not for Monday, but for the season?
Mm-hmm. I think I would probably, and I think I've picked Kansas City to, maybe so I'll stick with my pick. I think I picked Kansas City to repeat this year. So I'll stick with that. I will say this, and I'll preface this by saying I think Lamar Jackson did a really nice job this past week of throwing inside the pocket, throwing on time, playing in the structure of their offense. And the more he does that, you know, the better shot that team has a chance to sustain their offensive success. Lamar Jackson was hit or contacted like 200 and something times last year. Okay. The most Cam Newton has ever been hit in a season, it was like 174 times or 180 times, something like that, ever in a season. And he's far and away like the next most contacted quarterback. So I still have questions about the longevity of what Baltimore is doing running their quarterback who's, you know, 210 pounds as much as they're doing it. Like I do. And so if I'm doing it for the long haul, that would be my concern. I could easily see Baltimore winning on Monday night, but I don't think you can have your quarterback get hit over 200 times multiple seasons in a row and sustain it.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, college football analyst, presented by Red Spirits and Wine, joins us every Wednesday at noon here in Darren Donick and Chase. So I've seen some tweets. Dan Orlovsky, your colleague there at ESPN, was one of them, tweeting out the Titans and some of their offensive numbers, offensive stats since Ryan Tannehill took over as the quarterback, but some of it was directed at the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. And in Orlovsky's tweet, he said, Arthur Smith is going to be a head coach soon, like 2021 soon. When you read or hear things like that, do you agree or do you disagree? Do you think he's that close to taking over a team and being a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could easily be a head coach. He'll be, listen, if things kind of stay the same, you know, in terms of obviously what they did last year, that's not changing. And in the start of this season, you think about, and here's kind of a good example, you know, Ryan Tannehill's experience in Miami and his success level in Miami was up and down. But since taking over as the starting quarterback, you know, for the Titans, with Arthur Smith designing and calling the plays, he's been amazing. And so, like, that's different than, like, hey, I was Peyton Manning's OC, I was Tom Brady's OC, I was Aaron Rodgers' OC, right? Those are two very different things. And so, I think that it'll be impossible to ignore him as a legitimate candidate once you get into, you know, if they kind of continue with similar success this season.
And we've talked about this before. We had your buddy Trent Dilfer on yesterday, and I asked him about just the relationship with Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill and why they've just gotten on the same page so quickly and why that you can just see that trust level on and off the field. And if he ever experienced that in his career, at any point in your career, did you have that type of relationship with a coach that it just, for whatever reason, it just fit? It just kind of worked out for both of you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, you know, for me, I mean, obviously I never had the playing success that Ryan had, Trent had, or my brother had, or anything like that. But what I can say is, like, having seen kind of what that is like, so you kind of use it as an example, I definitely saw it with, you know, whether, you know, it was Donovan McNabb and, you know, Marty Morningwick, you know, really at the time, or Brad Childress for that matter, whether it was Kurt Warner and Todd Haley, you know, that relationship was incredible. And, you know, it was kind of an odd couple, but at the same time, like, it really worked. The lines of communication were great. Input from the quarterback was well received, you know, all of that stuff. So, you know, in a similar thing, probably with Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning, another, you know, somewhat odd couple in the sense that, you know, Kevin is really, really fiery, kind of not afraid of conflict. You know, Eli much more reserved and patient. But, you know, once their kind of open line of communication and trust and understanding of one another improved, you know, then the quarterback's play improved. So I don't think there's any question that there are, you know, really tangible examples of that type of thing. And so, you know, part of it is just natural personality, but sometimes it's also just having an understanding of what a certain player is comfortable with doing and what he's good at doing. And, you know, I think that that's been evident. And I would say this too, Chase, I think it's fair to say that the, you know, the pass catchers and their improvement is certainly, you know, helping the quarterback play a lot. And I think that, that's been pretty evident.
What can a win like Dallas had, being down by so much, coming back, winning it on a last-second field goal? Obviously, not a position that you want to find yourself in, but they made it work. But what can that do to spark a team that has been picked to do a lot of good things this year?
Well, I mean, there's so much attention and criticism there, right? And so, you know, we kind of started off this segment with Darren talking about the 2-0 teams and the 0-2 teams, you know. You know, the 1-1 teams get a chance to fly under the radar. I mean, starting off 0-2 in Dallas with some of the kind of offensive additions that they made, and you know, especially if it would have been a performance where, you know, they get run off the field, which it looks like they were going to do at the beginning of that game after hiring a Super Bowl winning head coach. Like, I think it would have been really, really stressful in Dallas. Mike McCarthy's comment after the game is basically what you're alluding to. Like, when you have a good season, there's usually some building block moments that, you know, when you look back at your year, you go, that was a turning point for us. I have to think that if Dallas ends up going to the playoffs, people will remember, you know, week two as one of those moments of wow. Like, you know, the mental toughness and kind of the ability to weather the storm back in week two really ultimately ended up being one of the deciding factors to them playing in the postseason. So I think it creates buy-in. It creates some mental toughness. It creates, you know, the ability to withstand some adversity across the board, not just with the quarterback, but, you know, with the rest of your football team.
Last thing quickly, Devontae Freeman, any impact at all in New York?
Not really. You know, I think it's a bad football team. I think they got a long way to go. And so I don't think that makes a big difference now.
Okay. Good stuff as always. Have a great rest of your week. We'll do
By
it.
By the way, you guys had Trent on?
Yesterday.
Chase isn't trying to, like, become friends with Trent, is he?
No.
I did not sense him trying to go behind your back with Trent.
There's a lot of confusion. Usually what happens is, like, I'll say something stupid, and then, you know, Trent will just trying to be, you know, preparing for his football game that weekend, and all of a sudden, like, everyone's like, you moron, you know, Kyler Murray's not going to be that good, you know. So I don't want Chase to start getting us confused either.
No.
Don't worry.
If he was cheating on you, we'd let you know.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Tim.
I'll see you at dinner
Bye,
Friday,
Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine. In Bellevue. He joins us every Wednesday at noon. We'll come back. We'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel in preparation for the game against the Vikings in Minnesota on Sunday. We'll hear what he has to say here in the middle of the week. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.